Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances and other live events. Accessible Cinema.
Welcome to FRED Accessible Cinema, FRED's program on media accessibility and inclusion to inform you about the status of accessibility in the media industry. This new episode is dedicated to the changes that the COVID-19 pandemic has brought to the field of media accessibility. So, from the importance of accessibility of information and culture to the need for equal access to digital content and entertainment. Museums and cultural organizations around the world are trying to find or have already implemented new solutions to allow everyone to explore art and culture from home. But what about people with sensory impairments? And of course, COVID forced everyone to increasingly rely on media for entertainment as well. For example, Netflix and YouTube ratings have soared in lockdown, but millions of people with sight or hearing problems are still struggling to get access to media contents. And this is something we are going to talk about with our guest today. And how will the cinema itself adapt to COVID times? Many organizers of film festivals have responded to the crisis by going online. And even Cannes, the world's biggest festival, announced it will not hold a physical edition this year. It has joined with Berlin, for example, but also Venice, Toronto, and other major film festivals to present We Are One, a global film festival, an online program to raise money for the World Health Organization's COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. And speaking of cinema, drive-in movie theaters are also experiencing a renaissance. For example, in Germany, where we have 50 drive-in movie theaters. 30 of them have opened since the beginning of the pandemic. Maybe you already know that the drive-in movie theater soundtrack has its own frequency, which is normally announced on the big screen. But what about audio description, for example? And what about subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing? Cinemas associations and other organizations worldwide are working together to gather useful information to deal with this new situation. And one recurring theme, and this is something we are going to talk about with our guests as well, if you read their recommendations, so the guidelines of these cinemas associations, is audience engagement and community building. This includes online workshops, for example, for children and for young audiences, but also watch party on Facebook and other media platforms. But the question is, will these new services take into account the needs of, for example, blind and deaf people? So, what is the role of accessibility in COVID times? How is it changing and how will it change? What are our next challenges, but especially opportunities? Well, these are some of the topics we will be covering together with our guests. So there is a lot to take in. Stay with us to know more about media accessibility and inclusion in COVID times.
FRED Film Radio.
Accessible Cinema.
Welcome back to FRED Accessible Cinema. This new episode is dedicated to the new challenges, but also opportunities, of course, for all of us in terms of accessibility and inclusion during and after COVID. So, to know more about that, we are going to listen to an interview with Agnieszka Sarkowska and Anna Jankowska. Agnieszka is Associate Professor in the Institute of Applied Linguistics, University of Warsaw, and she's also head of AVT Lab, one of the first research groups on audiovisual translation. And Anna is a lecturer in the chair for translation studies and intercultural communication at the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, so in Poland again. And she's also the founder and president of the Seventh Sense Foundation, which provides audio description and subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing. Agnieszka and Anna, welcome back to FRED.
Hello, welcome. Thanks for the invite. Thanks for having us.
Hi.
First of all, how are you? How is the situation? Are you in Poland, both of you now?
Yes, I'm in Poland right now. Anya is back in Poland too.
I just got back to Poland on Monday after 4 years in Barcelona. We travel in the middle of the pandemic, but we are fine.
In Barcelona during the lockdown, Anya, weren't you?
We were. Yeah, absolutely. We were in Barcelona locked down in our apartment for 6 long weeks.
Oh, gosh. I read an article 2-3 days ago about how residents in Barcelona felt about getting their city back somehow.
Yep.
Because it's always full of tourists. So how did it feel to stay there?
Honestly, I mean, we've been there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. That was not how we imagined our last couple of months in Barcelona. But then after we were able to finally leave home, it was really nice, I have to say. And I completely understand Barcelonians. And I think we were equally happy to have the city to ourselves. We also lived in the very center. So normally starting from mid-March, April, we would actually start playing Tetris on the street and avoiding some places because of so many people.
Course.
And now all of a sudden, well, it was a bit strange and sad because the city was empty. Mm. But then when people starting to walk around and there's some bars open and restaurants opened, it was really, really nice. It felt like a small city and everyone knew each other and we knew our neighbors. And we didn't know our neighbors before all this, though we lived in the same place for a while. So actually, from our perspective, it was very nice and a very unique experience.
Maybe for the very first time you could really visit Barcelona, maybe.
For the very first time, there were some places that we went to, you know, because otherwise it was impossible. But it was also amazing to see, I don't know, children playing soccer in front of the cathedral or in front of the Arc de Triomphe, which was before that.
Strange, yeah.
You wouldn't see any people there, apart from people taking pictures. So it was, I really appreciate it in a way.
Mm-hmm. And how's the situation in Poland right now, Agnieszka? How are things?
Well, things are good. I think Poland is a good country to be in. Apart from the political situation.
So I can imagine.
The COVID-19 hasn't really hit us that hard compared to Italy or Spain. There are good things and bad things, of course, challenges related to teaching, university teaching to students from home, not seeing them. I haven't been to the office since mid-March. And I've also been living quite a local life here in my neighborhood and locality, which is a good thing. And now the lockdown measures are released, I suppose, so we're sort of returning to normal or pretending
normal life somehow.
new normality slogan, right?
Well, during the lockdown, we relied on media for everything, both information, entertainment, considering that quite often nowadays we are not in the same room as everyone else, well, we say that it's even more critical to ensure our interactions are accessible. So being active researchers in the field of accessibility, what do you think about this? I mean, did the pandemic somehow make some of the weaknesses related to media accessibility and inclusion more visible, if you want? I don't know. What do you think?
So maybe I can start with this. I think the really important thing during the pandemic was the accessibility of all the governmental communication and all the public health information, all the new guidance information about health services, about the new rules, whether you're supposed to wear a face mask or a covering, are you allowed to go out, etc. So this has been communicated in very many countries, not only in Poland, in some press conferences. We had a prime minister or some governmental officials coming out there talking to journalists, and that was very often streamed and broadcast live. However, I don't know in your countries, like in Spain or in Italy, or but in Poland, and I know definitely for the UK as well, that what was really absent was the accessibility there. For instance, deaf people could expect to have some sign language interpreter there next to the person who's speaking, or provided later by television station. This wasn't happening very often. So the majority of hearing population could get the important information, whereas the deaf people were left. They could see that something was going on, something was being communicated, but there was no a sign language interpreter there. And because two different television broadcasters are not really thinking always about providing this, what we know now that the best solution to make this type of information accessible to people who are deaf would be to have the sign language interpreter next to the speaker, so next to the prime minister, so that when all the TV broadcasters are filming this, they get the signal. They don't cut out, right, the sign language interpreter. It's important to place him or her in the picture, so to make this accessible. And here at the AVT lab, it wasn't me in personally, there was this a little study done about the size of the sign language interpreter in television broadcasts. And we had this little campaign that size really does matter, because some broadcasters were providing a sign language interpreter, but he or she was so tiny, placed somewhere in the corner, that you couldn't really see him or her. Okay, so now we have those guidelines on the provision of sign language interpreting in the media in times of crisis like this, saying that, you know, the figure of the interpreter should take at least 1/8 of the screen, yeah, right? So this would be like an important recommendation.
Well, in Italy, we had a sign language interpreter close to the prime minister.
For some reason, I think when it comes to accessibility, I was following closer the situation in Poland. It was very visible in social media. So the campaign for having the sign language interpreter was quite a thing. And I think it also moved to the presidential campaign right now. I don't know what's your opinion, but I think
because
of COVID, the sign language interpreter became a thing that has to be there. So I think maybe it was one of the pros of the
COVID. But it also showed that this is not something that you are going to get as a deaf person. You have to fight for it. So
you have to ask for it.
That's right. And I think we've seen some empowerment of people who are deaf. They were started fighting for sign language interpreter, and they actually got that. Not in 100% of cases, but more and more often you get to see sign language interpreter. And I think in terms of communications, in everyday life communications, I think what's also difficult in the times of pandemics for people who are deaf and hard of hearing is the issue of wearing face masks and face coverings in general, because a lot of these people use lip reading to understand speech. And there's been some special face masks designed that are transparent, so you can actually see the speaker. But generally, I think the vast majority of people don't realize this might be a problem. So people with hearing loss may feel isolated because of that.
Of course. And moving from live to online platforms, what is the role of online platforms in filling somehow the live entertainment gap? So moving from information to live entertainment, what do you think? Also considering that nowadays audiences expect instantaneous access to their favorite films and TV series, especially now with physical separation restrictions and with the closure of cinemas and other social spaces. What do you think?
That in my opinion was very visible was that that accessibility is not something that people think of too much yet. that's just my opinion, but all of a sudden we had all those wonderful initiatives of operas, theaters, museums becoming accessible online for everyone. You could watch, I don't know, musicals from New York online, but they had no subtitles. They had no audio description, and it was the same for all the other things. So this was one of my impressions, like, okay, we have accessibility, for example, on Netflix and HBO and on Apple TV and so on. Mm-hmm. But it was there before. But now, in the moment when people go, okay, let's make this accessible here and now, accessibility didn't exist. Something that, in a way, felt very unfair.
Yeah, during the lockdown, I remember that I was talking to a blind friend, and she said, I'm lucky enough to have a sight boyfriend who lives here with me, because I have to ask him to narrate. He's my eyes, especially during the lockdown, where everything went online, such as you said, museums and operas and musicals and etc. So, yeah.
That's right. And a lot of online communication is done through some graphics, right? So you get pictures and you put the text in the pictures. And this, obviously, without an extra description or some metadata embedded in that, is simply inaccessible for people who are blind, right? So that's an issue, definitely.
And then another thing, obviously, that we've seen happening during this, a lot of things moved online in terms of, I don't know, teaching and communication. There was a lot of Zooming and Skyping and Teaming and whatever. And then those are not accessible for people who are deaf.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks to
a Polish team, right? They've managed to now, very recently, to introduce live subtitling into Zoom. But that's very recent. So all this time.
Actually, it's quite interesting, because those of you who use Zoom, you know that when you go deeper into the options, there is an option captions, and I was super excited the first time I saw it. And at the moment I activated it and read about it in the instructions, it said basically that in the minds of Zoom creators, captions consists in, like when I'm the teacher and I'm teaching my class, so I delegate one student to do the typing.
Oh, gosh.
And this, yes, that's exactly in the manual, in the Zoom help there, you know, what the captions are for. You type, and then the deaf or hard of hearing student can actually read that. So obviously, that's not the technology you would want, and what Anya was referring to, yes. So the Polish team made it possible.
I think Skype has subtitles, but they're automatic subtitles, English only. So
For Microsoft Teams, for example, because I tested it with my students, and we saw that there's. I mean, we just have English subtitles.
Yeah, that's obviously an issue. We here at our university, we use Google Meet, which obviously also uses automatic speech recognition for English. But if you communicate in any other language that is not English, definitely not for Polish, the speech recognition is not there, it's not built in. So this is something that's really missing. So if any people at Google, Skype, Microsoft, or whoever are listening to us right now, that's something that should be put on your priority list.
And it's the same for sign language interpreting. I mean, there is a way to do this in Zoom, but the amount of work you have to do to have the right person, you know, be displayed next to a speaker as a sign language interpreter, it's a lot, and it's not easy. I mean, we did some broadcasts online, Facebook, like we did live on Facebook with a sign language interpreter, and then it's easier. You can do this through like a dedicated broadcasting software. You can broadcast, you know, the speaker and then the sign language interpreter in the size you want, in the corner you want. But if you do this on Zoom, on Skype, there's no way. There is a way, but it's very complicated. And it actually has to be, every time it has to be either half screen. So the sign language interpreter is very big and visible for everyone, half screen, or the people who are deaf, they need to set it up on their side, which mm-hmm. is if you have, you know, a number of people who attend the seminar, and then there's always technical problems, even if you don't need to enable anything special.
True.
So for me, this kind of showed that accessibility for online events is both due to technical reasons and also sometimes, you know, lack of awareness is still work to be done.
That's right. It's not being designed, I think, with accessibility in mind. I'm just thinking about this solution introduced here by Polish authorities. So those people who are put on quarantine, for 2 weeks, they are supposed to report, I think, to the police or to some sort of office. And a special application has been designed for that. And it's completely inaccessible for people who are blind. You're supposed to, using this application, you're supposed to take a selfie and then send it to this office. And obviously that's if you're blind and you have COVID, that's not really a way you can do that.
Of course. Yes, I was thinking also about, you know, all those new virtual spaces like Netflix Party or, you know, those online platforms where you can share an entertainment experience with other people, and for example, which let multiple users watch a TV show or film together. But, you know, what about people with sensory disabilities in those platforms? I mean, I don't think that they have any accessibility service there, like audio descriptions or subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing. I don't know. But
you know, even if they have like Netflix, which is a good example because they have a lot. As far as I know, there is still no solution on any of the platforms on that would enable people to actually watch together. Adjust the settings to their needs. So if we watch with audio description, everyone watches with audio description. And I think it is technologically possible to do it the other way, so that the audio description is heard only by a person who needs the audio description, and the rest of the people who watch at home watch it without audio description. So this is also one of the things that I still think needs some work.
Yeah, like, what do you think?
Companies, VOD companies like Netflix, they have grown, right? The business has grown substantially.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there has been any growth in the accessibility offer of these companies. And I think Anya had a very good idea a couple of years ago that could be introduced, and that would really improve access for people who are blind in particular. Translating audio description script. Anya, maybe you want to elaborate on this.
It's
your idea.
It's about my PhD again. I'm actually surprised because it was in 2016 at Languages in the Media. I think that was the first time Netflix people came, and I know they have been working on the idea of translating the scripts. However, what I think they did, from what I understood, was if they needed a script in Spanish, let's say, and they didn't have any Spanish describers, they would have the script written in English and then translated into Spanish.
You mean sharing the transcript? I mean, sharing the dialogue list or something like that?
No. The audio description would be written, you know, by an experienced, and this is something that is done by other companies as well, by other providers. So the audio description is written, let's say, for a Polish series. Let's say we don't have experienced subscribers in Poland. So the description is written.
That's a bad example, isn't it?
It's not a bad example, but just imagining audio description would be written by a experienced describer from the UK, and then translated into Polish.
Oh, okay. Right? So the translation of the audio description. Okay,
yeah. But that's. I understand this is done, and that was if you don't have experienced describers. However, many countries now do. What I was hoping for was that Netflix would provide audio description in other languages than the language of the series. Because right now, or a film, right now there's a lot of audio description, but if you have an American film, the audio description is only in English. If you have a French, there's audio description only in French. If you have a Polish series, and we had the pleasure on providing audio description for Netflix in Polish, the audio description is only in Polish, even though the series itself is available in other languages. It's also with English dubbing or Italian dubbing or Spanish dubbing. So Spanish, English, whatever audiences, still cannot, blind audiences still cannot see the series that are not in their language or not in the language they know. So this is something I was hoping that would happen, that people from all around the world would also have access to films from other cultures and other languages, not only, you know, to the films in their own language.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from like the from financial point of view and then workflow point of view, it makes perfect sense. You already have a script that has been written by professionals who know the culture. Because if you have Polish describers writing audio description for a Polish film or Polish series, the script is perfect. And then it could be just simply translated from
translated
Polish
into another language.
Or through English into French, Chinese.
Yeah, and it's the kind of workflow that has already been tested successfully, I think, in the vast majority of cases, with subtitling.
Where you do work
with templates, right?
Yeah. Speaking of subtitling, I don't know. Do you think that we are going towards automation? I mean, have these changes brought on by coronavirus accelerated the move towards automation somehow? What do you think?
It's funny you ask, because it's like, I think 2 days ago, my husband was telling me how all the translation departments, they don't really have any future because everybody is going to use machine translation very soon. So that's really bad news. But of course, the whole world is striving towards automation.
Yeah.
I think it's like another step in using machine translation, because what happened before, like with previous research and previous business workflows as well, was that you use machine translation and then post-editing to improve the output of machine translation. And those tests have shown that when you actually start a step earlier, when you prepare the text for machine translation, you are going to have better results. So
pre-editing, let's say.
So pre-editing instead of post-editing, which might be necessary as well, you do pre-editing. So you prepare, cut the text into
to have a better
shorter
input,
chunks. So you prepare the input, then go through machine translation, and the output is there. And I don't think we can stop that, to be honest. Maybe it's going to take, you know, another 20 years until we retire, so that's okay. I'm not sure about our students and those people who are thinking of starting a career in translation.
I was just thinking that, you know, it's always very controversial to talk about machine translation. And I have this dilemma also with the translation of description scripts, because in a way it's taking away a job of describers and giving it to translators. But then I've talked to one of the researchers, and she made me realize that some things we don't have control over them, and they are bound to happen. That's one. So maybe it's better to try to be on board and then give your ideas. But also when you think about it, it has always changed. I mean, you know, you had taxis, now you have Uber. You had shoemakers, now the shoes are made in a factory. So
the transformations, natural
transformations are a natural part. And now if you look at this, and I'm very interested in looking at all this from the point of view of the final user. So what is best for the final user? To have a lot of audio description. If machine translation with post editing is able to provide good quality, because that is very important. It's not
just,
this, you know,
is the
whatever.
Key, the problem of quality. Yes.
Yeah. So if it's good quality, I have to say that I would not be opposing too much. Mm.
Well, maybe a good idea would be, you know, accessibility from the start. So thinking accessibility at the time of building a media or entertainment service. Do you think that these transformations, I mean, the transformations that we are experiencing in these strange times, will further help us to think accessibility at the time of building a media or entertainment service, rather than it being an afterthought, let's say?
The first step would be to raise awareness among everyone, really, because there's still a lot of people who don't know about accessibility, and the moment they realize this is something they also can benefit from, like if they're using, if they're on Zoom in the conference or, I don't know, a class or something, mm-hmm. They have issues with sound, they could rely on subtitles. So again, we're talking about access services benefiting more diverse groups
everyone.
Than just,
yes
everyone, that's right, than only those groups that they were originally meant for.
Fred Film Radio. Accessible cinema.
Fred Film Radio, we have just listened to an interview with Agnieszka Sarkowska and Anna Jankowska for this new episode of Accessible Cinema. We discussed the weaknesses related to media accessibility in COVID times, but also the opportunities. For example, thinking accessibility at the time of building a media or entertainment service, rather than it being an afterthought. We also discussed the potential, but also the limits, of online platforms, which are nowadays filling somehow the live entertainment gap. And these are some of the topics we covered together with Agnieszka Sarkowska and Anna Jankowska. And if you want to keep track of what is going on in the field of media accessibility, if you want to know more about the transformations related to the field of media accessibility, well, don't miss our next episode of Accessible Cinema. You can also visit Media Accessibility Platform's website, mapaccess.org, the first collaborative online platform gathering information on the history and the state of the art of research, policies, training, practices, and conferences in the field of media accessibility. Bye for now. This is Francesca Raffi, and this is Fred Accessible Cinema on Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. Fred Film Radio presents Accessible Cinema, a program about media accessibility, sponsored by SubT Access, subtitling and audio description services for cinema, television, theatre performances, and other live events. Accessible Cinema. Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.